Bill Bright compensates for Billy Sunday theology.
Bill Bright was, in several ways, the most effective evangelist of the 20th century. Not since Charles Finney has one man's theology so completely influenced the spread of the gospel. Like Finney in the 19th century, Bill Bright not only preached to thousands, but more importantly, for maximum growth, instructed countless saints how to witness effectively. But after almost a half century of service to God, he realized the vast majority of the people who got saved through his ministry acted no differently than heathen. I remember the day in 1997 I heard him discuss on his radio program the idea that the lifestyles of born-again Christians are virtually indistinguishable from those of non-believers. He said, essentially, that the saying of a salvation prayer didn't assure a person would exhibit the Christian life. I thought he was at a crossroad in his approach to evangelism. I put down the saw I was holding, and steadied the sheet of plywood I was cutting so as to hear every syllable. I hope he was about to confess remorse for his part in the scandal of modern evangelism. But unfortunately, he blamed this tragedy on a lack of sanctification in the church, and assumed no responsibility for spurious conversions. Instead of coming to the effective solution proposed by Dawson Trotman, and to a lesser extent, Billy Graham, don't lead someone in a decision, unless you are willing to follow him up, thus giving illuminated sinners opportunity to get saved in God's time, Bright came up with a non-confrontational reason for someone to get saved a second time. He acknowledged most modern decisions had no power to change people, so he suggested they get filled with the Holy Spirit. In order to do this, people needed to repent and yield control of their lives to Jesus Christ. The reinstituting of repentance and giving Jesus Christ lordship over one's life was a welcome step backward to the pre-20th century understanding of salvation. Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38. This was a tacit acknowledgement that modern evangelism, by eliminating repentance and yielding control of one's life to God as an integral part of salvation, had stripped most decisions of any real meaning. But instead of saying most conversions were spurious, Bright suggested the evidence of salvation was only available if someone were filled with the Holy Spirit as a second act of grace he identified as sanctification. This enabled Bright to offer millions of carnal Christians a second chance to get saved, without telling them they were lost. This was similar to the fortune bargain Billy Graham made, when he emphasized follow-up without leveling with the thousands of people who came to the altar about the possibility they were only illuminated, or in a stage of gestation. Bright was largely responsible for popularizing what A.W. Tozer, known best for his book, Knowledge of the Holy, called a heresy in the evangelical community and his book, I Call It Heresy. We are saved by accepting Christ as our Savior, we are sanctified by accepting Christ as our Lord, we may do the first without the second. Salvation apart from obedience is unknown in the sacred scriptures. What a tragedy, that in our day we often hear the gospel appeal, made on this kind of basis, come to Jesus. You don't have to obey anyone. You do not have to change anything, you don't have to give up anything, alter anything, surrender anything, give back anything, just come to Him, and believe in Him as Savior. Tozer said the practical effect of this heresy was probably less than 1 out of 10 evangelicals knows anything experientially about the new birth.
Blinded by the Bright.
As a professional salesman, Bill Bright was proficient at presenting products in the best possible light. As an evangelist, he made it so easy to accept Jesus that 80,000, 80% of 100,000, Russians prayed the salvation prayer at one of his events. In 1988, in the country of Sudan alone, there were almost 5 million decisions for Christ, according to source. Bill Bright is typical of 20th century evangelists who were ambivalent in their understanding of salvation. He recognized a definite crossing over when his father was saved. Bright said, "My father was a totally different man. But his own decision for Christ seemed uneventful. In fact, one could argue it was only a stage of gestation, see Jonathan Edwards' fourth step, for he wasn't aware of anything dramatic or emotional, but became more aware of what a sinner he was." His comment is similar to Luther's, Whitefield's, and Wesley's pre-faith observations, and has no similarity to the "all things have become new" descriptions of salvation in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 5:17. John 3:3-5, Ephesians 2:10-4:23, Colossians 3:10-11. Bright's Campus Crusade for Christ is a multifaceted Christian ministry. His Four Spiritual Laws tract has been given to over 4 billion people, and over 5 billion people have viewed his Jesus film. The Billy Graham Evangelistic Association and numerous other church and parachurch organizations have used his materials, making the theology of Bill Bright, from the perspective of population influenced, the single most influential version of the gospel in history. But was his gospel based entirely on the Word of God, or was it shaped more by his own salvation experience? Most great evangelists saw themselves as the worst of sinners, when God saved them. Bright had a more modern view. While most great men of God struggle with repentance from dead works, Bright searched for purpose and meaning in life. Bright's salvation in 1945 was not so much an appeal for a clean conscience, 1 Peter 3:21, as awareness that God could improve his prospects. Bright elevated the biblical principle of prosperity and peace with God above the message of forgiveness of sin and avoidance of hell as the primary reason for accepting Christ as Savior.
Bright dilutes gospel because of a revelation.
Bright's first gospel tract in 1958 followed a more traditional approach to salvation, beginning with man's sin and separation from God. But when it was revised a few years later, he changed it, so it would appeal to more people. In his book, Come Help Change the World, he tells how it happened. I was in bed just at the point of going to sleep, when suddenly there came clear as a bell to my conscious mind the fact that there was something wrong about starting the four laws on the negative note of man's sinfulness. I felt that few people would say no to Christ, if they truly understood how much he loves them, and how great is his concern for them. Some time later, one of the girls said to me, I was so distressed over your change in the presentation, that I wept that night. I was afraid that you were beginning to dilute the gospel, and that you were no longer faithful to the Lord, because you placed such a strong emphasis on the love of God, rather than on man's sin. Now in retrospect, I realize of course, that this is one of the greatest things that has ever happened to the Campus Crusade ministry. Bright emphasized mankind needs a Savior for the sake of legal exchange, not because sinners without Christ can't keep the law. If one accepted Jesus as the legal requirement demanded by God, he reasoned, the need for a struggle of faith was eliminated, and avoiding hell was a bonus. Unfortunately, Bright ignored the Bible.